It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Epic Systems, the large medical record software company based in Dane County, is at a crossroads, according to a new piece by STAT, a national newsroom focused on health and medicine.
The report looks into lawsuits and possible federal inquiries about alleged anti-competitive practices. It also details signs of internal tension over how the company develops and responds to AI.
Epic is a big deal in the medical information software world. Over 80% of Americans have at least one record stored in the company's software.
And it's a big business based here in Wisconsin. The company employs around 14,000 people, most of them based here in the state, and its latest annual revenue was over $5.5 billion.
Brittany Trang covers AI and health and medicine for STAT. She co-wrote the piece on the external and internal pressures building on Epic Systems. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Epic just held their annual users group meeting. You were reporting on this, and reading your reporting, it sounds like this big Wisconsin company is at a crossroads in a lot of ways. We'll dig into details, but big picture, what was at stake coming into that meeting?
Yeah, Epic is a really big company in health IT, especially for academic medical centers and big hospitals. And this year is a little bit different than most years because, the Friday before this meeting started, we reported and Reuters reported that the FTC is asking around and thinking about making an inquiry into Epic for a couple different reasons. And earlier this year, Sumit Rana, who was the president of Epic and set to eventually take over for 83-year-old CEO Judy Faulkner, he'd been at the company for 27 years and announced that he was leaving. And his last day was also that Friday before the meeting. And Seth Hain, who was basically the face of AI at this company, he'd been there for over 20 years. And he also tendered his resignation and left the company. And they're citing family reasons for some of it. But it seems odd that two very high up people, as well as some other executives who are also high up, would all be leaving at the same time. And so that, the FTC stuff, and some civil lawsuits that have been filed along the same lines of the inquiries that the FTC is making, plus the executives leaving, puts Epic at a really interesting place.
All right, let's check out the rise of Epic. It sounds like something that happens in Silicon Valley, right? Founder starts a company in her basement and it gets huge. Give us the quick story of the rise of Epic.
Yes. Judy Faulkner, I believe she went to the UW for grad school, and she started Epic in a basement in Madison in 1979. She scraped together $70,000 from her friends and family to buy what we would consider huge now, but was called a mini computer at the time, and started Epic Systems, although it wasn't called that at the time. Over the years, has added more and more features and gotten bigger and bigger clients. They had a really big contract with Kaiser Permanente in the early 2000s that showed that, hey, we can handle these huge hospital systems, these complex places. And over the years, they've become the dominant seller of these systems that hold your medical records and help hospitals bill for care and help coordinate with patients. You might know them most popularly from their product MyChart, which is a patient portal that you might go to chat with your doctor or to check your lab results or to see the notes from your visit.
And you use the word dominant. And then the question comes up, how dominant is too dominant? And that's where the Federal Trade Commission comes in. What are some of the concerns that we've been hearing, not just from the FTC, but people in this industry about allegations anyway of anti-competitive practices?
When you hear the term anti-competitive practices, normally what you think of, especially when you think of Epic, is like, oh, like they are the number one electronic medical record vendor. And so when you're thinking about antitrust stuff, it must be that the other vendors are who they're competing against. That's not so much the focus of this investigation, because people who are Epic customers, people at Epic would tell you, like, hey, the other people in this area just haven't competed against us and their product is inferior, and that's why we're taking over. But the practices that the FTC is looking into and the practices that these civil suits have focused on are less other people who have the exact same electronic medical record product and more because Epic is the default place for us to store data in medicine, they also kind of gate access for other third-party applications who might want to use that data to do something else in the hospital that Epic doesn't even do. So one of the lines of inquiry is along that access to data. So there's a civil lawsuit that lays this out. There's a company called Curis, and they make software for managed care organizations to help them bill. They do a specific kind of translating different codes and stuff to help with medical billing. They say that up until about 2019, they were able to work with Epic customers. But then, you know, about 7 years ago, Epic decided that they competed with Epic's products, Epic's billing products. And at first, they were kind of delaying, you know, when a hospital would contract with this company, Curis, and say, oh, we want to use your product. They would need to get information that was stored in Epic's medical record in order to facilitate that business. So they were getting delayed when they would ask Epic, hey, can you give us the connector to port this data into our software? And then eventually they were denied access to that data, which, you know, the hospital has contracted with this company and says, like, hey, we want you to access our own data to help us do this thing. And so this company was getting denied access to the hospital's own data for something the hospital was contracting with it to do. And then Curis says that Epic spread rumors about it, basically, that they would say, to their customers, they say, oh, we're not so comfortable with implementing this third-party software. We have some data security concerns, which makes it harder for these customers to want to work with this third party. Curis also alleges that there's an Epic First policy that once a customer adopts Epic's software, that the company requires the customer to abandon working with other third parties, especially for things that Epic already has or plans to have a feature that does the same thing. And Epic says that, hey, we just want you to turn on a certain functionality, whether it's with us or with somebody else. But there are also some soft power things. Like, there is, Epic has an honor roll program that will give health systems discounts of hundreds of thousands of dollars for following what Epic sets out as its best practices. There's a gold star program from Epic that if you turn on the features that Epic says you should turn on, then, you know, you get some certain stars. So there's some softer ways that Epic, even if it's not explicit, it seems to be trying to steer people toward their product, which is easier to use for some of these functions because you don't have to integrate a third-party application. It's already in there. It already has access to all this data. Maybe it's bundled in there and it's free, but how much of that is stifling innovation and cutting out competitors is kind of the question here. And Epic has, in its motion to dismiss Curis's suit, has said that, hey, we are not obligated to keep competitors in business, and we are allowed to talk to our customers about, you know, what features we're offering and all that kind of stuff. So a big debate here.
We're talking about some challenges facing Epic Systems, a health record software company, a big one, based in Dane County. Brittany Trang covers AI and health and medicine for STAT. She's been reporting on Epic. Another source of lawsuits, Brittany, not just other companies, but former employees. And you hear this a lot about Epic, their non-compete clauses. What is going on there?
Yes, I don't know how many people in Dane County are on the Epic gap year. So Epic famously has a pretty strict non-compete clause that for a year or two, you're not allowed to work for anybody who competes with Epic. But that also extends to health systems that are Epic customers and basically anybody Epic has ever worked with. And there's also some pretty strict stock agreements as well that entangle with the non-compete. So there is a lawsuit filed recently from Veeva Systems, which is a clinical trial software maker. And they contend that they don't compete with Epic because they're more in this clinical research area. And they say that they were added to the non-compete list in December of 2025. And they think it was kind of retributive because Epic just didn't want them hiring their employees. They have a Madison office and have hired Epic employees in the past. And they said that as they were in the process with a candidate, they're in the interview process with a candidate who currently worked at Epic, that person, once Veeva went onto the non-compete list, said, "I can't go any further. I have too much financially at stake. I believe in stock to be able to violate this non-compete." And so Veeva is saying that, like, these covenants are too restrictive, whether it is explicitly the non-compete or the hold that Epic has over, you know, the stock agreements and the money that employees have tied up in the stock, that is harming competition and harming us. That suit was dismissed earlier this year because the state of Wisconsin, the judge from the state of Wisconsin, found that Veeva didn't have standing because they weren't a party who had signed any of these contracts. But there is a second suit that is filed in California from a former Epic employee who went to work for a medical device manufacturer. And she needs access to Epic's user web, so their internal documentation, and this allows you to kind of interface with the company. And so she needs that for her new job at a medical device manufacturer. And she says that Epic flagged her when she applied for credentials and said, "Hey, like, you can't work at this company," basically enforcing the non-compete with the power they hold over people's access to this login that you need to be able to do your job in a lot of different companies that are in healthcare. And so she's saying that in California, non-competes are void. You can't do this to me, and you can't restrict me from being able to do my job functions at my totally unrelated employer.
Those are the lawsuits. Now we turn to a big topic at this meeting you reported on. Like many companies around the world, Epic is asking, what are we doing with AI? How are we using it? And this is a big question here, and it sounds like maybe an unclear course. What do you see in what we're hearing from Epic when it comes to how they integrate AI into their systems?
Yeah, last year, Epic announced a bunch of really big AI initiatives. So at this meeting last year, they announced that they were going to launch an AI scribe product, which is, you know, you go to the doctor, they're typing on their laptop the whole time. They're making notes about what's happening in the visit. But this technology allows the AI to listen to the visit and at the end produce a summary that the doctor can use as their doctor's notes of what happened. And so there's a very popular product in healthcare, one of the fastest adopted technologies. And Epic had previously been maybe partnering with other people or letting other people integrate, but announced, hey, we're going to have our own. It's not just a scribe, it's a whole, because they're so integrated into the medical record, a whole suite of tools. They also have introduced a chat that you can do through MyChart with an AI bot to both answer some basic questions, as well as eventually the goal is to be able to schedule appointments and stuff through there. They also have a database of de-identified medical records from all the hospitals that participate in this program. And so they are building an AI model on top of that to say, hey, like, what is the chance that this person might come back to the ER? Patients that are similar to them, like, what happened to them? What is the chance of, you know, this person having a heart attack in the next few years, stuff like that.
I laugh because my last medical appointment, they told me my percentage chance of having a heart attack in the next few years, which is kind of eerie. I won't share that. I don't want anyone wagering. But this is potentially a wave of the future for healthcare, right?
Yes. And some customers that I talked to at the meeting said, like, this is too much, that, like, not every hospital can integrate, like, the latest and greatest stuff. And we're still, you know, working on getting our ducks together for stuff that was last year or 2 years ago. And then some other people are saying, like, oh, this is great. Like, Epic is going to have all of these features in there. Like, we don't need to have features from other companies. And Epic, because it has, everything is so integrated, everything can work together really well. So there's a couple different thoughts about that. But this also ties into the intrigue around executives leaving, because what people close to the company have told us is that there's some sort of disagreement about AI at the company, about how much to do, who to do it with. Epic really loves to grow things homegrown, build it themselves. and in 2023 announced a big partnership with Microsoft based around AI. At this year's meeting, they had a big slide at the main address that said they're partners for AI, and they listed OpenAI. They said they were soon going to start working with Anthropic, but Microsoft was nowhere to be seen. The company executives say, hey, we still use Azure, like all these models we're pulling from Microsoft's infrastructure, but it seems odd to me that, you know, last year they announced they were building the AI Scribe with some Microsoft models. They had this big partnership in 2023, and they had Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, on the stage. Seems odd to me that they're Microsoft's no longer, their logos isn't around anymore. So that might also be part of the turmoil inside of the company.
On top of all this now, there's drama around succession. You mentioned Judy Faulkner founded this thing. Judy Faulkner's 83, still CEO. Some of the key executives who might have been viewed as successors, you write, have left. What is going on when it comes to succession at Epic?
That is what everybody would like to know. So we've heard that people are leaving because of this rift over AI, and not just AI, but if they should partner with other people and third parties on other technology that they are developing, how open the ecosystem should be. There's also all these lawsuits. People are getting deposed. Executives are getting deposed in some of these antitrust lawsuits. And with the interest from the FTC, do people want to be tied up in depositions for the next 5 years? But it's unclear exactly what's happening. Epic has named 4 people to take over the responsibilities that the president was holding before. There's never really been explicit, hey, like this person is eventually going to take over this for the CEO. But there's some messaging of, hey, this person is taking over some of the responsibilities that used to be that Judy used to handle, kind of thing. And at the annual address last year, President Sumit Rana had his own little section in there. And this year, a new person, Seth Howard, who has been viewed by people on the inside as in the line of succession, he had his own section. So I don't know if that is any indication of where that's going. But it's something that everybody wants to know.
And Brittany, what are you watching for next at Epic?
Yeah, well, we're watching for if the FTC moves on this, which could take years because it's in pretty early stages of inquiring about these practices. And we're also looking to see what Epic is going to do about some of these complaints that people have about it, the things that are in these lawsuits that they're defending. And we would love to know more if anybody listening has anything to say about Epic or working with them. You can reach me. You can find my profile on the statnews.com website and contact me there.
Brittany, thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
Brittany Trang is a reporter for Stat, a newsroom focused on health and medicine. She recently co-wrote a piece on Epic Systems with reporter Casey Ross. Epic has denied claims of anti-competitive behavior, and in a statement to WPR said their non-compete clause for an employee involved in a lawsuit had not prevented her from finding employment. And for disclosure, Epic is a business sponsor of WPR.